Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week's Parsha is Parsha Shlach. Of course, Shlach has many things, but famously begins with the story of the Meraglim, the spies, who were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu, the 12 spies, and 10 came back and gave a negative report about Eretz Yisrael. And the Jews cried. It was the night of Tisha B'Av, and Hashem said, "You cried a cry for nothing. I will make sure this will be a night where you cry for something." And that became the ultimate, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But at that time, he decreed upon them that they should remain in the desert for 40 years. So much has been said about the story of the Meraglim, but today what I want to do is I want to just share with you two explanations on things that is in the Parsha, seemingly problematic or questionable in the actual words of the Psukim or the Parsha itself, and see how we can explain them. The first is the following. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu sent 12 spies. Rashi says that at the beginning they were actually good people, tzaddikim, but they could have gone with intentions that weren't so good, and they ended up coming back with a negative, and 10 of them were considered mistaken and evil, and therefore they died. Whereas Yehoshua and Kalev, they survived. Now, when they went, it says in the Pasuk, Eila Shmoiso Anoshim, when it lists all the list of the people, it says these are the names of the people Asher Shalach Moshe Losu Resoretz, Moshe Rabbeinu sent to spy out the land. Vayikro Moshe Lehoshea Binun Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu changed the name of Hoshea Binun, his disciple, to Yehoshua. Rashi says that he was davening for him specifically. Yehoshua then begins with the words, letters Yud and Hey, which is Hashem's name, Ka. And he said, Ka Yoshiacha Ma'atzas Meraglim. Hashem should protect you, Hashem should save you from the scheme of the Meraglim. The obvious question is, if there was a problem, if Moshe foresaw that there was going to be a problem with the Meraglim, that they had not such good intentions, and it was very possible that the test that they will be tested with when they see the strength and the power of the land of Israel, that they might come back and create chaos and dissuade the Jewish people from wanting to go into Israel. So why did he only daven for Yehoshua? Why did he daven for everyone? Why did he make a special tefillah for all of the Meraglim? Why only Yehoshua? There are many explanations, but the one I'm going to share with you is an unbelievable revelation in a mystical way that the Arizal shares. Now, Arizal says the following, and it's based on a question. We know that there were 12, there's always a number 12, right? The tribes are always number 12, but we know that there are different ways that the 12 is reached, the number 12 is reached. Yaakov Avinu had 12 sons, and when Levi is enumerated as one of the 12 tribes, or one of the 12 sons, the other one that makes up the 12 is Yosef, even though Yosef later split into two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, but they wouldn't be counted when Levi is counted, because you always go with the number 12. You never see the number 13 when it comes to tribes. However, sometimes there's a list of tribes where Levi is not enumerated. So then we find that the split between Manasseh and Ephraim, the two sons of Yosef, become two separate tribes. When the Meraglim were sent, Levi was not part of the Meraglim. The tribe of Levi did not send Meraglim. One of the reasons is because actually this wasn't so relevant to the tribe of Levi, which Moshe Rabbeinu was from Levi. But sending the Meraglim wasn't so relevant to the tribe of Levi, because the tribe of Levi, when they go into Israel, was not going to actually inherit the land. They were not going to have a portion in the land of Israel, as we know. That when the land was divided up into 12 parts, given to the various tribes, Shevet Levi did not get a portion in the land. That's why the various tithes and presents that were given to the Levim and the Koyanim, etc., to be able to live and survive. The Levim just became not farmers as the rest of the Jewish people. The Levim became spiritual instructors. They became teachers. They became people who spread Torah. So therefore, in the Meraglim, we do find that it was a spy from the tribe of Manasseh and a tribe from the tribe of Ephraim. However, there's a very interesting nuance in the Pasuk. The Pasuk begins by saying each tribe. So it says, for example, Lematei Reuven for the tribe of Reuven is Shamua ben Zakur. Lematei Shimon when it comes to Shimon, the tribe of Shimon, Shafat ben Chayri, etc., etc. When it comes to Ephraim, which is in Pasuk Ches at the beginning of the parasha, it says, Le'mate Ephraim, Hosheya Binun. When it came to the tribe of Ephraim, it was Hosheya Binun. Later, when it comes to Menashe, it starts it off differently. It says, Le'mate Yosef, for the tribe of Yosef, Le'mate Menashe, which then is the Mate, the tribe of Menashe, Gadi ben Susi, the spy was Gadi ben Susi. So the obvious question is like this. If we have Ephraim and Menashe, and it's necessary to mention that they came from Yosef, it should have said it by both the Pesukim. It should have said by Ephraim and Menashe. If it's not relevant, we just need the 12 tribes. We can see Ephraim and Menashe are counted as tribes independently. We don't need to see the background of Yosef, so it didn't have to say Lemata Yosef by Menashe either. So what's going on here? Why by Ephraim it doesn't say Yosef, and by Menashe it does? So the Arizal explains in the following way. He says that Hashem reveals his secrets to those who fear him, in other words, to the great tzaddikim, are privy to what's going on. When Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim to spy out the land, Hashem sent with them the neshamis, the holy souls of the sons of Yaakov, which became embedded in the souls of the Meraglim, so that they should be protected. Why? Because the Arizal explains, when Hashem saw that they are prone to be sinning, that they might be tempted with the challenge of what they're going to see in Israel, and if they're going to come back and do terrible things and spread a negative report. So what did Hashem do? Hashem decreed that the neshamas of the Shvatim themselves, people who are called Bnei Yisrael, should embed themselves, so to speak, in the neshamas of the Meraglim, and therefore they should be able to have the koyach not to fall into that evil plot, which he says is hinted in the pasuk where it says when they went, they were kulam anoshim, they were all people of men of stature, roshei bnei Yisrael hema, they were the heads of bnei Yisrael, meaning like they had the shvatim, like just like the shvatim were the heads of the bnei Yisrael, they had the shvatim with him. Now, of course, the tribe of Levi was not embedded because there was no spy from Levi. But here came the issue with the Meraglim. Came the issue with Menashe and Ephraim, with Yosef. Yosef, the neshama of Yosef was embedded into the spy of Menashe, which is why in the posuk of Menashe, it says, Lemate Yosef, Lemate Menashe. So therefore, his soul went to Menashe. So therefore, it comes out that the only one that didn't have one of the tribes embedded in his neshama was Yehoshua. Because Lemate Ephraim Moshe Abinun, but he didn't get Yosef, only Menashe got Yosef. Because Menashe was the older one. So he got Yosef. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says that I am from Levi. Levi's neshama is not being embedded. So what I'm going to do with the power of Levi, I'm going to give Yehoshua a special bracha. And that's why only by Yehoshua it says, Hashem Yoshiacha Matzas Meraglim, Hashem should save you from the plot of the Meraglim, because he didn't have the extra neshama of one of the Shvatim to help him along in his mission. It turned out that with Kolev, who was from the tribe of Yehuda, the fact that he had the neshama of Yehuda actually helped, in addition to the fact that he went to Davin at Hebron, as it says, and he came back at Tzaddik, just like Yehoshua did, that the others, even with the neshama of the Shvatim, they kind of detached themselves from the great neshamas of the Shvatim that had attached themselves to their neshama, and they fell into the plot and came back with a bad report. So that's one idea in the parasha that I thought was beautiful from the Arizal and worth explaining. The second is a general question, but specifically with regard to what it says in the pasuk. When the Meraglim came back and they spread a really bad report, one of the things it says is as follows. V'ho anoshim asher olu imoy omru. The people that came with Yehoshua and Kolev said, no, loy nuchal lales elo'om, we cannot go up and conquer the nations of Israel. Ki chozok hu mimenu, because they are too strong. They are stronger than us. Says Rashi, mimenu can mean two things. From us, mimenu can mean him. Says Rashi, Chazak hu mimenu, when the Meraglim said that they are stronger than mimenu. Kaviyochol kapei mailo omru, they were saying that he's like too strong for Hashem even, so to speak. In other words, as the Chazal tell us, what they said was, Ein balabais yochol heitzi kelev. They're saying like Hashem himself, so to speak, cannot take care of his own creations. He cannot remove his own creations from the land of Israel. That's what they were saying. That's how strong they were, adamant that it's not possible to go to the land of Israel. And the obvious question, in a general, but specifically in this pasuk, is the following. We're talking about Meraglim who saw everything that had happened to the Jewish people. They saw the plagues, the miraculous plagues. They saw Makas Bechoris, the plague of the firstborn. They saw how the Yid were able to leave Mitzrayim. They saw how the Yid Mitzrayim was destroyed in the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. They saw it all. They saw everything that happened, all the miraculous things that had happened to protect and save the Jewish people till this point. How is it possible to entertain? How is it possible to entertain that they would really think that it's not possible for the Jewish people, and it's not possible for Hashem to make a similar miracle and to ensure that they were able to conquer the people in the land of Israel and be able to conquer the land and settle in the land of Eretz Yisrael? How was that possible? How could that be? They saw the man saving. They saw that when they were in the desert, the clouds of glories and the mountains and everything, were able to crush the mountains and take care of the snakes and the scorpions, everything. Everything in the most miraculous way. And they shouldn't be able to conquer the land of Israel. I mean, even if you want to be evil, you have to say something that's sort of partially true. You have to be able to make up a story that at least makes sense. This is completely irrational. After what they had seen, after what the Jewish people had seen, coming out of Egypt, this wasn't long, don't forget, out of coming out of Egypt, it was just a few months after them leaving Egypt, seeing all these amazing, infinite, transcendent miracles that God had performed. And therefore, they're still saying he won't be able to protect them and make sure they can conquer the land of Israel. What is going on here? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe in a sicha once gave the following explanation. That really the explanation is not about the inability, chas v'shalom, of Hashem to perform miracles. They knew Hashem could perform miracles. But there was a certain type of miracle they weren't aware of, and it's got to do with the whole spiritual attitude, the whole spiritual perspective that the Meraglim had. It's explained in the Likutei Torah, a famous idea, that the Meraglim actually, really what they wanted was, they wanted the Jews to remain in the Midbar because they were afraid of what was going to be when the Jews come into Egypt, the land of Israel. Meaning, up until then, the Jews were saved, protected, and sustained in a most miraculous way. But a miraculous way which meant that they were detached from the physical environment. They were schlepped out of Egypt and they were protected by the clouds of glory. They were given mon min hashamayim, the mon from heaven. Everything was a supernatural. Their whole existence was a supernatural existence. They knew, that the Jews will go into Israel, everything will switch. They will be going to and meant to be living a life of nature, of teva, a natural life, where you have to plow the field, where no more there will be mon. You have to plow the field and sow the field and be able to just live through the natural means. And they were scared that when the Jews do that, they will suffer spiritually. They will lose their connection to Hashem. They will become absorbed in the natural world which conceals the infinite presence of God, and they will lose that infinite and supernatural connection they have with Hashem, and will become part of the Gashmi, as part of the physical environment and part of the natural environment in which they will be, which will affect them spiritually, will affect them the way they think, will affect them in recognizing that everything's from Hashem. It'll affect them in being connected to Hashem while still living and operating in the physical and through the physical and natural routine. And therefore, it'll completely destroy them and destroy them spiritually, and therefore, they were worried. Now, they had seen tremendous miracles. Why wouldn't the miracle help them, even spiritually? Why wouldn't the miracle of going to Israel and conquering the land, why couldn't that also assist them and support them spiritually to ensure spiritual success? So he says what the Meraglim thought was the following. There are two ways the world runs. Ness and Teva, miracle and nature. Up until now, what were the miracles? The miracles were a force of Hashem that came into the world and pushed aside the system of nature. all the makos, all the plagues, were about supernatural events. Coming into the Midbar, Hashem pushed aside nature. There was nothing growing there. The Jews had no food to eat. There was no physical, natural protection from the snakes, the scorpions, and the elements, and the nations around them. And yet Hashem put them into a completely supernatural context and experience. They knew that. They had seen all the miracles. They had seen all the miracles, which by definition, all the miracles meant that there's a system of nature, comes the miraculous system and overrides and superimposes itself on the natural system, and nature ceases to exist and miracles take over. Like the Kriyas Yam, so the splitting of the Red Sea, the nature of the sea is to flow. Nature came and over superimposed the whole system of nature, and now the water stood. When it needed to stand, it stood in one place. However, they knew that when they come into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem wants them to operate in the system of nature. Because that's the purpose of the world, really. The purpose of the world is to really do Torah and mitzvahs in nature, in a natural world, to reveal Hashem where He's not obvious, to reveal Hashem where it's dark, to reveal Hashem even in the natural system. Which means that Hashem decided that, for the most part, the world should run Al-Pi Teva, should run naturally speaking. So they said once the Yidden leave the world of miracle and go into the world of nature, they will not be able to conquer it, spiritually speaking. Yes, Hashem could lead them into Eretz Yisrael and miraculously create a victory. But then, in their mind, nature would overtake. Once nature overtakes, then there's no more nature. And they knew that, no, that's not the Ratzon of Hashem. The Ratzon of Hashem is that once they leave the Midbar, once they leave the desert, the system now becomes nature. Which is what they meant when they said, of course they knew the power of Hashem. But it's what they meant when they said, Ki chazak hu mimenu, they are too strong for us. Meaning even strong for Hashem. What they meant by that is, that Hashem, who has decided not to uproot nature once they leave in Israel, so then, if Hashem has decided, then the power of nature is too strong. Even Hashem won't be able to take away that system of nature and the strength and its influence, the spiritual influence, because Hashem has decided to leave nature in place, therefore becomes chazak mimenu. Yes, if Hashem wants to completely destroy nature, of course He can do that. He can do whatever He wants. They have observed Hashem doing that for a few months now. But if Hashem wants to leave nature in place, then chazak mimenu, nature is too strong. Too strong physically, and it's too strong spiritually. And therefore, they made that claim because it was a miracle that they'd never seen before. What is that miracle? What is that miracle? Because the truth is that the Yidden can go into nature and yet still be miraculous. Up until today, the Jewish people are a nation that lives within nature, but yet we enjoy a miraculous existence. We are still miraculous till today. Statistically, we shouldn't exist, and we are still around. And yet we are around in this world. We are around operating within nature, because that's what Hashem wants us to do. Because what the type of miracle that needed to take place when the Yidden go into Eretz Yisrael was a different kind of miracle. Normally we have Nes or Teva. But when you have Nes and Teva, miracle and nature, operating together, operating completely together, where nature still exists, but its miracles exist with it, and the miracles take place within the nature, that's something the Meraglim never ever saw. They saw miracles, they saw nature, and they saw miracles overtake nature. But that miracles should exist within nature, that they've never seen. Later on, when they built the Mishkan, they did see that. Because we know the famous miracle of the Mishkan, which is the Aron Kodesh. And we know that the Aron Kodesh was Nes and Teva together. What was that? The famous idea that the Rashba explains this. Nimna HaNimnois, the impossible of the impossible, where we have the Aron taking up space. It had to be built by certain measurements. And yet, if you measured the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if you measured the Holy of Holies, if you measured from one wall to the beginning of the Aron, and then from the end of the Aron till the wall, it was certain measurement, but if you measured from one wall straight to the other wall, you get the same measurement, which means, in other words, the Oren wasn't taking up any space. So it was had space, it took up space, it had specific measurements, it had to be built within the realms of nature, space and time, and yet didn't take up space at the same time, which is something our human mind cannot grasp. But Hashem was above and transcendent. He's higher than being finite and infinite. He's higher than all sorts of definition. He can have nature and miracle happen at the same time. The Oren could take up space and not take up space at the very same time. That is the miracle. That is actually the miracle that we have to live with every single day. We have to live within nature. We have to live within Teva, spiritual miracle, this is at this point. We have to live within nature and yet be above nature at the same time. We have to bring Hashem into the natural world. We have to operate, we have to work, we have to do things al pi teva, and yet we understand that our existence is supernatural, it's miraculous at the same time. That is something the Meraglim couldn't comprehend. That is what the Meraglim couldn't understand. This also reflects in a very beautiful idea, and that is that eventually when they did make it to Eretz Yisrael, eventually when the Eden went into Eretz Yisrael, and we know that when they crossed the Yarden split, similar to the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf. But an interesting thing happened. When did the Yarden split? So the Tanakh tells us that it was the Koyanim who stepped into the water with the Oren Kodesh, and then the water split. In other words, when the Jews went into Eretz Yisrael, they prepared for a new kind of miracle. The miracle of the Oren, the miracle of taking up space and not taking up space at the same time. So when they went through the Yarden, they had to go with the power of the Oren, because that was the power with which they were going into Eretz Yisrael. The miracle of nature and supernature at the same time. The miracle of being able to descend into the world of nature, plow the fields, sow the fields, be involved in the routine of the physical, natural routine of the world, and yet remain completely connected to Hashem in a supernatural way. Which, by the way, they didn't always do. Sometimes they failed, as the Meraglim had forewarned, because they knew the danger. They knew the potential danger. But Hashem nevertheless had given us the koyach, and still gives us the koyach, to have that combination of nature and supernature at the same time, which was how they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim didn't understand that, so therefore they tried to dissuade, and they said it's an impossibility to happen. They'd only seen either nature or either something supernatural. But Hashem said, no, when they go into Eretz Yisrael, there will be that nature. Hashem could do much more than just a miracle. He can have miracle and nature operate at the same time. And that was their mistake. Have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.